The New Grad Physio podcast is hosted by Andy Barker, consultant MSK and sports physiotherapist, private practice owner and the founder of the New Grad Physio. Having experienced his own rapid rise from student to dream job just 15 months after graduating, Andy knows exactly what it takes to accelerate your skills and fly up the promotion ladder faster than you ever thought possible. Having previously worked in his dream role at the Leeds Rhinos as the head of physio and rehab, Andy now consults with a number of individual elite athletes and within professional rugby, football and dance whilst running his own group of private practice clinics. He started the New Grad Physio to help student and new grad therapists just like you overcome the specific challenges you face at the start of your therapy career, helping you to dodge the common pitfalls that can cause confusion and overwhelm with your clinical practice and stop you getting the patient results and the jobs or promotions you deserve. This podcast will deliver you actionable advice, will help you make sense of your patient assessments, reason your treatments, and patient rehab to get results well beyond your level of experience. You will also discover what you need to do to open doors, to create opportunities for yourself, so you can enjoy the best possible start to life as a new grad physio. So, let's get started.
Hey, it's Andy Barker here, and welcome to another episode of the New Grad Physio podcast. Hip pain can be pretty tough to get a handle on, and I know I've been asked so many times by therapists for help and advice with the hip, a little bit like the shoulder. It's obviously a similar joint and can often cause, like the shoulder, similar problems for you when you're trying to get a grip on your patient's symptoms. And so often the story with hip-based injuries and pathologies is that patients often improve at the start. So you do your hands-on work, you do your early rehab exercises, and they get better, their pain reduces, they begin to improve in terms of function. But as soon as they start to do more things, like get back in the gym, like start running again, like getting back into sport, the hip gets so easily irritated and you're sort of back at then at square one. I'm sure if you've treated hip pain patients before, this sort of story sounds very similar. And the reason, part of the reason the hip is one of the most difficult joints to treat and to manage is because it can be so easily aggravated. You think about just about any type of movement, whether that's walking, whether that's bending down to pick something off the floor, any sort of lunge pattern, clearly things like running aggravate the hip. Those movements, particularly of hip flexion and hip internal rotation, are involved in all those movements I've just mentioned. But to make things worse, your hip pain can be easily set off with even everyday things like, you know, your patient putting their socks and shoes on, by sitting, by driving, and even sleeping can irritate the hip. So it's not like there's any real time for your hip to actually rest, like you might be able to do with an upper limb injury or an ankle or a knee when you're sort of off your feet. So it makes it really difficult sometimes to manage particular hip pain symptoms. But there is one thing you can do that can make a really quick change to hip pain, and that's going to be the focus of the topic for this podcast episode. And this will not only help you take away your patient's pain, but also help you keep it away. And when I explain this to you and what this is, you'll laugh because it's so obvious. Yet no one, not even most experienced therapists, are actually doing this. And it's part of the reason why so many therapists, young and experienced, really struggle with hip pain patients. So to sort of start us off, the first thing that you need to understand is that there is more to the hip joint than just the ball and socket joint. And I'll explain what I exactly mean by this. So we've got the ball or the femoral head, and we have the socket, which is the acetabulum. So the femoral head, the ball, is at the end of the thigh bone, the femur. The acetabulum, which is the socket, is part of the pelvis, and each half make up the hip joint. So we've got, I guess, the acetabulum, we've got the femoral head. So they make up half the joint each. So why is it that therapists spend almost all their time treating and rehabbing all the muscles that influence the femur, like things like the hip flexors, the adductors, firing up the glutes and the like, and almost zero time on the pelvis? so it's almost all ball and no socket. And when I explain what I mean by pelvis rehab, you understand why. And when you understand the power this can have, it'll change your thought process really on how you can manage hip pain patients. So what's happening is so many therapists are just spending time treating almost half the hip. They're treating 50% of the hip. They're focusing all their efforts generally on the ball or the femoral head. And you know, this for me is why so many patients do struggle and why they struggle to get consistent positive patient results with their patients. And I do a test that helps you to see whether the pelvis is actually a driver for hip pain. And it's really simple to do. It'll take you less than 10 seconds and it's going to tell you exactly if your patient has a pelvis or socket issue contributing towards their hip pain or not. And if you know this, then you can make sure you focus on exactly the right problem. And this stops you just trying to treat everything around the hip, like releasing those hip flexors, those glutes, those adductors, you know, hoping that one of your, you know, treatment techniques works, or blindly activating muscles around the hip, giving everyone, you know, glute activation exercises, even though the glutes might not actually even be a problem. And if you know this, you can then actually spend your time on the actual problems that are causing your patient's pain. You know, put really simply, if your patient has a pelvis or socket issue that is causing their hip pain, you can treat the femur, you can treat the hip flexors, the adductors, the glutes, etc., around the sort of femoral head or anything else around that area, all you want, but it won't work. Because if they've got a pelvis problem, if their pelvis or socket is driving their symptoms, then you need to treat and rehab their pelvis. That makes us pretty logical and obviously makes sense, but we don't do it very, very well, particularly at the hip. So how do you know what the issue is and how do you work out what you need to treat? So I'm going to tell you, explain to it now. And what you can use is what I call the hip flexion breathing test. And for this to make sense, we'll take a common presentation that you might see in the clinic and it'll help you to put this into practice almost. So think about that patient you see with hip pain. They have limited and painful hip flexion. You assess them on their back on the bed and you test their hip flexion range and you find they are limited to 100 degrees. And this gives them a pain score on the visual analog scale of 5 out of 10. So for you to test if their pelvis is driving some of their symptoms, you need to get your patient to take a breath in and then a big breath out. Get them to do this 3 times, and at the end of their 3rd exhalation, so that breath out, retest their hip flexion range of movement. More often than not, what you'll see is an improvement in the patient's range of movement at the hip. So if you've retested hip flexion, you might see, in this case, range above 100 degrees and a reduction of pain. This can be often very significant, and for some, the pain will go away altogether and your patient will get full range of movement, all without you even actually touching their hip. So to understand what's going on here and to make, you know, to help you, I guess, understand what is happening at the ribcage and the pelvis, when you need to understand what happens when you breathe. So when you fully exhale, your ribcage drops back and down. So it retracts and depresses. And when this happens, your pelvis will posteriorly tilt. So this posterior tilt of the pelvis, think lifting your tailbone up, opens up the hip. It opens up the socket at the front and gives that femoral head, the ball sat in the front, more move to move in the acetabulum. So all you've done here really is change the position of the socket, but it can have, you know, dramatic effects on hip, both range of movement and also pain. And it's a test, it's a simple test, but it tells you so much, because this test, if it improves your patient's symptoms, then you know that the pelvis is influencing their problem. If the pelvis is influencing their problem, then you need to treat their pelvis and you need to include this as part of your patient's treatment plan. And you might think this sounds pretty simple and it's too good to be true, but it's really not. You need to give it a go with the next hip pain patient that you see, and you'll see for yourself. You know, it might be that you test them and it makes no difference to the range of movement it makes no difference to their pain levels. You know, and then you know then it's not a pelvis driven problem, and you can focus on the things that you might be doing at the moment. But if you've got a pelvis problem, you know, you need to treat the pelvis problem, because again, you'd be wasting your time, your efforts, and all the other things that many therapists are doing at the moment, trying to fix the actual wrong problem, trying to fix a problem that's not actually there, and then wondering why your treatments and your rehab exercises don't work. So a simple test done really well can have massive impact on your patient's ability to get over their hip, you know, pain, and dramatically improve their range of movement. So if the hip's something that you struggle with, and again, you're not on your own, so many therapists do, because they're making, you know, vital mistakes, like not using the tests I mentioned in this particular podcast episode, wasting time treating the wrong muscles, prescribing sort of any old hip exercises, hoping, crossing your fingers, that something works. But in all honesty, you don't really know if they will. If this sounds a bit like you and you want to stop making these kind of mistakes and learn a different way to assess, treat, and rehab hip injuries, so you are sure you're treating the right issue and have the confidence to take any patient or athlete with hip pain through a full rehab program from start to finish without worry, then get in touch. Just head to newgraphphysio.com/membership to learn more about my NewGraph Physio membership and how it can help you get great patient results well beyond your level of experience. So that's newgraphphysio.com/membership. Take a look. Interested to know more, then please just fill in the short form at the bottom of the page, hit submit, and I will get right back to you. So as always, thanks for your time, efforts, and attention on this week's podcast episode. Don't forget, you can listen back to all my other podcast episodes. Just head to wherever you get your podcast and search for The New Grad Physio. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll catch each weekly podcast as it comes out each and every Thursday. So thanks again. Hope you have a great day, whatever you have planned, and I'll speak to you all again very soon.
Thanks for listening to The New Grad Physio podcast. Before you head off, I just wanted to make sure you did not miss this. Alongside his podcast, Andy posts a weekly blog on his website, www.newgradphysio.com. You can access all his blogs and loads more resources, like his recent PDF, The 5 Breakthrough Steps to Confidently Treat the Shoulder Right Every Time, Avoid Mistakes and Stop You Feeling Less Adequate Than Other New Grads. This is Andy's most popular resource and has already been accessed by thousands of therapists just like you. To get a copy of this PDF, or to get more information about Andy's upcoming courses, or find out more about his New Grad Physio membership, head to www.newgradphysio.com. Have a great day, and we will catch you on the next podcast episode.